And my friend who was a co-dance captain with me was talking about it. He said, are you going to work on the Spider-Man show? And I said, the what?
It was a powerful property. The eyes of the world were upon the Spider-Man. And it seemed like it was constant drama from that jump off point.
It hasn't even opened yet, but there has been another accident for the most expensive Broadway musical ever.
From the creator of Politics Weekly.
Not only can the actors get hurt, but the audience can get hurt.
You know, a death might occur right in front of you.
Does Whatever a Spider Can, the story of the Spider-Man musical. Featuring a special appearance from Ben Brantley. Now available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome to Politics Weekly. Politics Weekly is a weekly nonpartisan podcast featuring some of the biggest names in politics and portraying some of the biggest political stories of the week through both left and right-leaning lenses. Hosted by award-winning journalist Nolan Cleary, the former editor-in-chief of the Hudsonian newspaper, Politics Weekly has been listened to by over 15,000 people worldwide. The views expressed by guests on our show are not necessarily the views expressed by the host, Nolan Cleary.
All right, welcome back to Politics Weekly. I'm your host, as always, Nolan Cleary. Joining me today, we have political strategist Scott Stalker. He is a longtime guest on our show. Scott, thank you again for joining us.
Glad to be back again, Nolan.
All right. Well, with that being said, let's not waste any more time. Let's get into the top stories of the week, starting with Hunter Biden. Biden, the son of President Joe Biden, has pleaded guilty to two counts of tax misdemeanors. He has also struck a deal with the DOJ on a gun charge. Biden could face 12 to 18 months in prison based on these charges. What are your thoughts on these recent charges against Hunter Biden?
What's difficult with a high-profile individual like Hunter Biden, who obviously has multiple political contexts within which we view him, it's very difficult to determine the facts of the case and then what would be fair given the circumstances. And I think people are motivated generally, let's say out of their political frameworks, through their political frameworks, perhaps to view the angle of justice that they perceive. It's almost like a Rorschach test, for justice in a lot of ways. I don't have a strong opinion either way at this point. If there is more evidence in other higher crimes, I think that will become a much more politically charged point. But for right now, I think, it's best to hold judgment and see how the judge in the sentencing actually unfolds.
All right. Well, with that being said, let's move on to the next story. Special Counsel Jack Smith is requesting that the trial of former President Donald Trump over classified documents be pushed to December. The trial was originally set for August as a result of the Speedy Trial Act. However, Smith is requesting that Judge Eileen Cannon push the date back to December. What are your thoughts on Smith's attempt to delay the trial?
Well, I think my understanding was that President Trump had not yet gotten a attorney staff together, and that the speedy trial law is interesting. And I guess the original date in August was 70 days to the date of the indictment. So they had to do that by law, but all of the politicos were saying it was extremely unlikely that that would actually be the court date for many reasons. And it turned out to be, or so far, it looks like it will not be. And it's incredibly unlikely. I will predict is not either ends with the charges being dropped or will not be fully adjudicated prior to the next election.
All right. Well, with that being said, let's jump into the next story. Congressman Adam Schiff has been censored by the United States House of Representatives. The Republican-controlled House censured Smith for claiming he had evidence that then-President Donald Trump colluded with the Russians during the 2016 presidential election. The House Ethics Committee will now investigate Schiff, who is running for Senate in 2024. Yeah. What are your thoughts on Adam Schiff being censured by the United States House of Representatives? Last week, we reported that there was previously an attempt again to censure him, and that attempt failed. Now this attempt has succeeded. What are your thoughts?
It is, Adam Schiff is not a likable person, in my opinion. He seems too smug, but that is not a cause for censure. I'm afraid the House is so politically charged. I guess I heard this week they were talking about a way to expunge President Trump's impeachments. And apparently there is no vehicle for that, but they may pass a non-binding resolution so that he can claim that they never happened because they were expunged. I believe when I was on this show previously and we talked about Russiagate, I never really bought it because the Steele dossier seemed to be, you know, equivalent to the Inquirer in terms of its believability and the motivation or really to contemplate Donald Trump being involved in something where he would have to keep quiet and use savvy to his advantage. It just seemed like that's everything that I think comes to his mind flows through his mouth eventually. So I never quite bought it. And I think the Durham investigation has been interesting. But I believe, you know, Adam Schiff is a highly political motivated individual. Similar to Lindsey Graham, I think he will say anything, you know, whatever at the time is politically expedient. So it's not surprising to me, although I truly don't like him as an individual. It's just his personality. I don't know him personally, but his personality in his own interviews, to me, maybe did not, you know, deserve censure, but certainly it's not something that is extraordinary anymore because it seems like this House is looking for a way to impeach President Biden. And it would be unfortunate if in America now the House majority is so highly politicized that this happens every cycle, you know, whenever the House turns over.
All right. Well, with that being said, let us move on to the next story. Another Republican has joined the race for the presidency in 2024. Will Hurd has announced that he will enter the Republican primary to seek the White House in 2024. Hurd was previously a Texas congressman from 2015 till 2021. Hurd was known to be more of a moderate in Congress, as he was more critical of President Donald Trump at the time and was known to support amnesty for illegal immigrants, which is a position many Republicans rejected. Hurd retired in 2021, but he is now running in 2024. In his first campaign ad, Hurd criticized President Donald Trump, his opponent in the primary, for divisive rhetoric and claims that he wants to have a moderate platform of, quote, common sense ideas. Hurd's candidacy, however, is considered a long shot, as most polls show so far have Hurd at under 1% in the polls. What are your thoughts on Will Hurd entering the growing field of Republican candidates in the primary for the White House?
Well, the primary is no place for a moderate, but it's difficult because I think a lot of folks find, and including myself, find moderate views attractive because they are more common sense and that they would play better to a general audience. But in the primaries, unfortunately, the way both parties are set up is you have to walk somehow a fine line between not overcommitting yourself to that particular party's dogma such that you can't pivot back towards the center when the general election, if you do become the nominee, you want to be able to pivot back towards the center. But during the primary, I think what you're going to find is that a guy like DeSantis is going to have a better chance than Herd, simply because DeSantis is very much in line with the party's, you know, conservative side, and all roads to the White House from a Republican standpoint lead through Trump. So Herd and Christie and DeSantis and others, I think Nikki Haley now also has criticized President Trump. All of those, that is the only road, I think, to the White House for a Republican nominee. Be very difficult for a moderate, even though we may all kind of share his opinions to some degree, or that he may play really well to a wider audience. Maybe he's running for Secretary of State in actuality.
Yeah. Now, do you think that that's a problem on both sides? Do you think that both sides, do you think Democrats may have more of a problem winning a primary as a moderate? I know many people have tried to say that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is roaming to the center, and some people will argue that may ultimately hurt him.
I find Robert F. Kennedy Jr. fascinating in terms of his position. I don't even know if it's always centrist. It is almost, in some ways, kind of a mixture of hard right and hard left. He has a stance on transgender athletes, which I think, resonates with Republicans, conservative Republicans, and more so would not be something that the hard left would enjoin him with. It is, the RFK Jr. thing is absolutely fascinating. It's definitely a problem for President Biden. I saw a video today with RFK doing push-ups and pumping iron, and he's quite jacked, which you may think, well, why does that matter? Well, because there's some question about, Biden's, certainly his mental acuity, but also he's been falling. And it is quite obvious that that has happened more so than what would happen in a normally healthy human being's life. He's certainly, in his 80s, and that happens to all of us as we age. But you want to see a youth and vibrancy, or at least a vibrancy to the, the man that you're, or woman that you're electing. And I think that he's a real problem, I think, for President Biden. It'll be interesting to see how he plays in the primary. That one's tougher to predict.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to the next story. U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is opening an impeachment inquiry into U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland over, quote, weaponization of the Department of Justice, unquote. Conservative politicians have accused Garland of targeting a number of political opponents, such as Catholics who attend Latin Mass and parents who have voiced opposition to certain school curriculum. However, Garland has denied that he targeted these groups. President Joe Biden has McCarthy's attempt to open an impeachment inquiry. If Garland were to be impeached, he would be the first Attorney General in United States history to be successfully impeached. What are your thoughts on U.S. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy opening an impeachment inquiry into Merrick Garland?
What a mess. It's a sad state of affairs. I'm not saying there's no merit to the charges, but it is unlikely that there is a vast conspiracy on either side, other than the one that we see play out in public. It's really, I think a lot of folks would wish we were not going in this direction. And the direction is, a sort of over-polarization of, certainly of the House. And you see this in these cycles. We were just speaking about the censure of Adam Schiff, and now they're looking to impeach the Attorney General. And there is, apparently, there was some testimony recently. I think Hawley was cross-examining someone, and I watched it long form on C-SPAN. Does appear that the Department of Justice was investigating Catholics, as though conservative Catholics, as though that were a threat. And it also appears that they were investigating parents that were going maybe overboard at in terms of their behavior, not necessarily their beliefs, but their behavior at these town, you know, local education meetings. Those seem to be oversteps, but I'm sure I would hope there would be an awful lot of maybe individuality to these specific cases, in that the political parties are generalizing these in order to motivate a certain voter base to turn out for them at some point.
All right. So the U.S. Supreme Court dropped a case on Monday regarding a former lower court decision on hotel records for former President Donald Trump. Democratic members of the United States House of Representatives had successfully sued previously to receive records from Trump's now defunct hotel in Washington, D.C., to use against former President Donald Trump. A lower court previously approved the decision. However, Trump's legal team appealed it to the United States Supreme Court. The Supreme Court has now dropped the decision. What are your thoughts on this outcome?
I'm not sure I understand the merits of the case, but I will say, generally speaking, I think the Democrats, from even before Trump took office, but after he was elected and before he took office, were very keen on who was staying where and how that might play out. There are certain laws that come into play that I think you really have to be a federal campaign finance wonk in order to understand. But ultimately, I don't think it's a very wise method if you were trying to bribe the president or in some way enrich him to stay at his hotels, which everyone could plainly see. So it is, of all the ways that President Trump could potentially be influenced, I just tend to doubt that this is, you know, the way that a foreign government or foreign actor would come up with, especially most of those governments play the long game, and that's a really short tactical move. And they would think, you know, in terms of longer time frames and strategy, and look to enrich perhaps the Trump family in other ways.
All right. Well, with that being said, let's jump into the final story. United States Supreme Court has determined that Louisiana may redraw their congressional maps in 2024 to add a second black majority congressional district. Previously, the Louisiana State Supreme Court ruled that the Voting Rights Act required that the state add a second black majority district. Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry appealed the decision, but the United States Supreme Court sided with the Louisiana Supreme Court once again, arguing for the Voting Rights Act in Section 2. We reported last week that the United States Supreme Court previously backed a decision that said that Alabama could add a second black majority district. So this is a follow-up to that decision. This right now, Louisiana only has one black majority district. This decision is likely a boost for Democrats hoping to take back the United States House of Representatives in 2024. What are your thoughts on this recent decision from the United States Supreme Court?
I think the interesting thing is, you know, there was this whole, let's pack the courts, coming out of the Democrat, because books, well, some Democrats, because they were concerned that there was too many conservatives on the court. It's really, these folks that say that, there's two things. One, that's a road to ruin, because ultimately who's ever in control could put as many as justices as they want on there. And it really could alter, our entire structure of government. The other thing is, they really don't look at these types of decisions and understand that if you truly follow the SCOTUS, and there are blogs for that, and there's a if you want the audio of the court, which is like some of the greatest, you know, highest level debate that you've ever listened to. When you listen to someone argue a Supreme Court case and you listen to the questions from the justices, if you truly listen with an open mind, I think it will restore some of your faith, both in the court and in our system of government. They do not seem, although we can pick out the ideologues on the court, and I can name a couple on each side, there would be probably little debate if we talked about Kagan versus Thomas and where they both kind of lie. But really, if you look at the opinions that are rendered like this, like the Alabama opinion, and more like, you know, Obamacare, which, by the way, there was a conservative majority. But, you know, Judge Roberts, who wrote the opinion, you know, had the majority, and they basically upheld Obamacare. It just doesn't match with the rhetoric that you see on television and the deep, deep concern. And I think a lot of that is just theater. And they are basically trying to motivate their own bases. Gavin Newsom recently said that he wanted an additional amendment to the Constitution to implement a form of gun control. I don't think it's realistic to think at this point that we could pass that type of amendment because of the requirements of passing an amendment. And I don't think Gavin Newsom actually believes that he could get it passed. The idea is to motivate this block of voters who would come out and say, yes, I do want to support that. Well, while you're at the polls, you should also vote for these candidates because they would support it as well. And that's when that's a little far off course, but when we see the opinions in Tennessee and we see the opinions in Alabama, it's good to read and listen to those debates. And then I think it reflects well upon us as a democracy that we may yet survive despite what you see on, you know, the cable news networks.
All right. Well, that about wraps up today's episode. Thank you again, Scott Stalker, for joining me.
Always great to be here. I'm looking for my five timers, Jack.
Head to NolanCleary.com.